When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wolf Packer Show. My name's Ethan McDowell. I am here with Noah Fleischman, and we are your hosts. We're back after a very brief off-season break, because if we've learned anything over the past few years of college athletics, there is no real off-season here. Today, it's going to be all portal talk. We're going to talk about transfer portal updates for men's and women's basketball and football, because the portal closes today, technically. So it's starting to wrap up. We're starting to get a little more of a clearer picture on what both basketball teams are going to look like. Football, still a little bit of a mystery, but we've got some info for you there too. So before we dive into everything happening around the Wolfpack, just a quick note that we're both writers for thewolfpacker.com. That is NC State's site on the On3 network, the fastest growing college football and men's and women's basketball website out there right now. On3 just launched a women's basketball and women's sports vertical. So go check that out if you're looking for some women's basketball transfer portal updates. And we're going to talk about that today as well. So we're ready to get all into it. Go subscribe there. It is only $1 to join the site right now for your first month. It does not get cheaper than that. And you get access to our premium transfer portal scoops. There's stuff that we're not going to be able to talk about on the free YouTube platform necessarily, but we're posting about it on the website, so go check it out. See who NC State's trending for. See who's trending elsewhere. We've got it all there right now. And once these kids commit, we have team analysis going up. We have interviews with these recruits. So just keep, you know, stay tuned on thewolfpacker.com. Go subscribe. It's only $1. Go check it out, and we'll see you there. All right, Noah, let's talk NC State men's basketball transfer portal. We'll start off with the men's team because they've been the busiest in the transfer portal so far. Let me count 4 additions so far for men's basketball, 1 open scholarship left. Let's lead off. Let's talk about the most recent visitor. We've been talking about how they're going to fill this last scholarship after Mo Diarra's departure, which we will discuss further. They needed a forward, right? You've spent the past week on the site discussing possible forward names, and one that has emerged is Ezra Asar, a sophomore from East Carolina, so right down the road in Greenville. And Noah, I want you to give me the scouting report on Ezra, who was on campus this week for a visit.
Yeah, you know, he told me he was really interested in NC State earlier this week and was on campus shortly after. And it's an interesting guy. He's not the size of Mo Diarra. He's not that 6'10", 6'11 guy that's going to rebound the basketball and get 12, 13 rebounds a game. But he's a good fit, I think, for NC State and what they're going to want to do going in next year. When you look at Asar as a whole, you know, he's 6'8", 247. So he's big, just not tall. He can play and play well. He averaged 11.4 points and 4.7 rebounds this past season at East Carolina, playing mostly in the center spot. But at NC State, if he were to commit, I think it would be more of a 4, more of that power forward spot, playing alongside Brandon Huntley Hatfield, playing alongside Ben Roderbrooks, kind of doing that. But also can play the 5 if they want to go small and have one forward on the court and go with 4 guards with a couple wings. I think that would look cool too. But he's a guy who shot well from the floor, 51.4% last year. Expanding his game with a 3-pointer, he made 6 this past season, didn't make any his freshman year, so he's starting to expand. I think if NC State can continue to develop that, if he commits, I think that would make him a really dynamic player. But it seems like NC State is focused in on Asar right now, bringing him on campus for a visit with 1 scholarship left. But there are other options out there. We'll see what they end up deciding to do with him, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a commitment from him sooner than later. You know, our On3's Jamie Shaw already has an RPM pick in for him to go to NC State. So it would be a good fit. And I think that it would fill out the roster well, give them options and things they want to do. But if he doesn't commit, Brandon Gardner from USC dropped the top six yesterday and put NC State in it as well. Don't know how much interest there really is between the two, but he would be a good backup option if Afsar left campus uncommitted.
Yeah. So what we're going to do with all of these transfer portal additions, and we'll do it for Afsar too, because like Noah said, right now, I think we're pretty we haven't put in an RPM pick yet, but Jamie does, and you know, Jamie's one of the best in the business. So there was positive buzz going into this visit. I don't think anything's changed there. So we'll see what happens. But what we're going to do for all of these guys is we're just going to look at the role they could fill. You know, you already touched on it with Ezra. But yeah, I think he'll be that power forward guy. He'll bring energy. He'll bring some scoring punch too. I mean, in his conference tournament this year, he had a 28-10 game where he hit 10 of 12 shots and went off. So, like, you know, he's an efficient player, hits over 50% of his shots. So he's not someone that's like, you know, some mid-major guys, you'll bring them in and they're just like, you know, their shooting percentage will be at like 38 because they have to. They have to carry that offensive load. They have to be looking for their shot all the time. It's not the case with Ezra. He's an efficient player. He's shown the ability to pile up the rebounds. If you look at like his game log for the season, it's kind of just up and down. He'll have games with one rebound. He'll have games with nine. So just a little up and down. But I think, yeah, is part of that front court rotation, is, you know, replacing that Modiara spot in the rotation. I think he's someone that could fill that role. I think he'd be someone that Wolfpack fans should be excited about. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward here. All right, let's move on to. We're going to go through all the commits now, the folks that have actually officially joined the program. And we're going to start with Brandon Huntley Hatfield, a junior from Louisville. He was the first portal commit to, you know, make the call. And NC State ended his season this March. And now they're going to and he was very quickly the first portal target that they kind of zeroed in on. He committed during the Final Four run. So let's talk about Brandon Noah. 12.9 points per game, 8.4 rebounds per game. Just, I think, a really, really solid center who started his career at Tennessee, spent the past 2 years at Louisville, and has just steadily improved each of those years, right? To the point where he was arguably Louisville's best player last year. Definitely one of them. So really, really big addition in my eyes. He's 6'10", 240, so literally – he's a big addition as well. He's going to replace, you know, DJ Burns in the middle of that offense. So, Noah, what do you see Brandon doing with the Pack? How do you see him fitting into NC State's kind of rotation here?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the starting center. I mean, when you look at what he's been able to do, I would say he was Louisville's best player. And it's not the fact that he was scoring 20 points a game. Sky Clark, you know, dropped over 30 on NC State in the ACC tournament. He was most consistent, and on a team that wasn't great, last place in the ACC, he was able to be consistent, almost average a double-double, and played really, really well, especially against NC State both times at Louisville and then in the ACC tournament. So the Wolfpack got an up-close seat of what he can do and thought, you know what, he'll fit well. This is a guy who, yes, he played at Louisville, but in the portal, Ethan, his top four schools were Pitt, NC State, UConn, and a return to Louisville. UConn, the team that won the national title 2 years in a row, is interested in this guy. So I think that's all you need to know about what he can do. He's a really highly touted guy coming out of high school, top 30 class, top 30 player in the 2021 class. Just a really good player. I think he fits at the center spot. He's different from DJ Burns. He's more of a traditional center, something that Kevin Keats, I think, wanted to get back to. Because Keats kind of talked about the Final Four of the assistants go, like, we need to go find a DJ Burns. He's like, no. We don't need to find DJ Burns. We need to find someone that fits NC State. And I think that's what they found with Brandon Huntley Hatfield. They brought him in on campus in the middle of the run after they got back from the Elite Eight. He liked it, commits when they're at the Final Four. So it's a good addition to the class. And he really got this thing kicked off in the portal just based on who they lost through the portal. A lot of guys that didn't make much of an impact this past year, just with minutes and the rotation being small, but they replaced them all with really, really good players. And And Huntley Hatfield, I think, is a guy we'll see a lot on the court in his last year of eligibility.
Yeah, if you were to ask me who's one guy who could be out of this current transfer class an all-ACC player, I'm probably going with Brandon. I'm just really optimistic about what he's going to bring to the pack. And when he has like more consistent scoring on the perimeter around him too, right? I mean, Louisville was just, you know, they scored, but they were obviously just not a good team. I think he's going to be with better players and have better coaching at NC State this year. So I'm really, really high on his potential and what he's going to bring to the Wolfpack next season. Noah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I think he's going to be one of the stars of next year's team. So get excited about him, folks. I know when we're in the middle of a transfer cycle, I feel like the first person tends to be forgotten a little bit. But
yeah,
don't forget about Brandon because he's going to be a big-time addition to the pack here. Really exciting player. Next up, another player who Wolfpack fans should be familiar with, Dontrez Styles. Started his career at North Carolina. That's always notable. That never happens. A former UNC player playing for NC State. I believe it's been like, 50, 60 years, maybe more since someone
Since like right after World War II, yeah. So yeah. when you bring up World War II in the same sentence as anything you're talking about, it's been a long time.
So there you go, Dontrez Styles making history here. Of course, he didn't transfer directly from UNC to NC State. There was a year at Georgetown in between. He's someone who really liked NC State last year, from what I heard. Like, I think he strongly considered coming to teaming up with the Pack when he was going through his portal recruitment last year. He did not. He went to Georgetown instead and had by far the best year of his career. Started all 32 games for the Hornets, scored 12.8 points per game, pulled down 5.8 rebounds, and just was a really, really good player. He's 6'6", guard forward guy who, Noah, when we're talking about roles here, I mean, with the way the recruiting is gone, I think he's someone that you could feel pretty comfortable with putting him as like the fourth guard in a lineup. Putting him, I think he can guard shorter power forwards. He's a good defensive player, and I think he's going to be he's going to add some versatility that I think the Pack didn't have as much of last year, just on the wing. But I think he's going to bring some impressive versatility to the perimeter for the Pack. And he's just he's a reliable scoring player. And I don't think he's going to be asked to do a ton. Like, you're not going to have to have him as your like primary ball handler. You're not going to have him as your creator, but he can knock down shots, right? 36.8% from three. Just a productive player overall, 43% overall from the field. That's efficient for a guard. So I'm excited to see what he looks like for NC State. Noah, what did you think of Styles' addition to the Pack?
It's a versatile guy. He can play the three, he can play the four, and I think that's something that NC State was looking for, a guy that can play both positions, especially with writing on the wall. Makes it look like they're going to go a little smaller next year and go back to what they tried to do at the beginning of the year and see if it works again this year. And yeah, he doesn't do one thing spectacularly great, but he does everything well. And I think that's what makes him such a versatile guy. He can shoot the three, as you said, just under 37%. He shot 47.4% inside the arc this past year at Georgetown. He can get to the hoop. He can make things happen. He can rebound really, really well as well. He had a rebounding, offensive rebounding percentage of 7.3, which was third highest at Georgetown this past year. So he can rebound on both ends of the floor as well. Just really versatile at 6'6", 212. A guy that fits the Casey Morcell role, I think, most that they brought in. This is where we're going to see him go in. He can defend pretty well too, which is also good to see. And, yeah, I mean, this is a guy who at Carolina couldn't really crack the rotation. You know, he averaged 1.8 points, 1.3 rebounds in his 2 years there. Did hit one of the biggest shots in UNC history in a while, you know, in the NCAA tournament to beat Baylor and get them to the Final Four. Which is a good thing to see because you're bringing back a team with a lot of Final Four experience. He's been in that moment before, hit a big shot. It bodes well for what the NC State wants to do at the end of the season. But, yeah, experience is a big thing. Versatility is a big thing with him. And he's got 1 year of eligibility left, too. He came back to North Carolina to do it back with Kevin Keats, a guy who has not given up on Dontre Styles. Tried to get him out of high school, couldn't get him. Tried to get him out of Carolina, couldn't get him. Got him third time around, and now we'll see what they can do with him. But there's something about his game that Kevin Keats and his staff really, really like if they've gone at him three times now to get him to come, and they finally got him in Raleigh. So it's a good thing to see. Makes the wing a little crowded. We're going to talk about it some more in a second with Mike James. But if you ask me right now, Dontre Styles is in the starting lineup for NC State next year.
Yeah, I agree. And you talked about, like, Kevin Keats never gave up. And it seems like this time around, it was pretty cut and dry. Like, the second he hit the portal, it sounded like NC State was the team for him. I don't think he visited. We didn't hear about a visit. If a visit happened, I think he just made the call. I think he just made the call to commit. I mean, he's familiar with the school, familiar with campus. So that was big for the Pack. Like you said, filling that Casey Morcell role and adding some versatility to the wing. All right, we're going to dive into the other two additions to the Pack. Before we do so, want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, Game Time. Game Time is a ticket buying and selling marketplace. Whether you're looking for tickets to a concert, a comedy show, tickets to see the Carolina Hurricanes playoff run, it's all on there. It's all on the Game Time app. Pretty much any event you want to find, you can find it on Game Time. You can find the app on any app store or on your web browser at gametime.co. That's .co, not .com. My favorite thing about the app, personally, is it takes a really annoying step out of the ticket buying process, because when you log on, you can see the exact view from your seat that you'd be sitting on if you bought the ticket. I'll hold it up for those watching on YouTube. You can see I have the app right here. You can see where you'd be sitting if you bought this ticket in section 315, row N. Cheapest ticket right now for game three of the Rangers Hurricane Series is $121. Before we started recording, Noah and I were just talking about how we might use the Game Time app to go buy some tickets to this game. So we used it to go see the Hurricanes' first round series. So we can vouch for it personally. It's easy to use, quick ticket buying process, good prices. They don't like completely weigh you down with fees like other ticket buying services do, I think. And to sweeten the deal a little bit, if you do use Game Time, use code WOLFPACK, and that's all caps for WOLFPACK, on your first purchase, and you'll get $20 off. It's a great deal. Made it even cheaper there, and go check it out. Game Time is on any app store or on your web browser at gametime.co. All right, let's get back to talking transfer portal stuff here, Noah. Next up is Mike James, another player from Louisville. I mean, NC State is going to finish this transfer cycle with arguably Louisville's two best players, because Mike James is a very, again, versatile wing player. He's a guard who averaged 12.6 points, 5 rebounds per game, shot 39.6% from the field, 34% from three, and 81.8% from the free throw line. So very, very reliable from the charity stripe. And Noah, I mean, I feel like versatility is kind of going to be the buzzword of this podcast. I think he's another really versatile guy who, maybe more so than Styles, would just have the ball in his hand a lot more. He's not a lead guard by any means, but he'll have the ball in his hand a lot more. Definitely like a slasher who can shoot a little bit. Really exciting player. Noah, what does he bring to the Pack?
Brings two things. One, experience. He redshirted his freshman year after tearing his Achilles. Since that year, past 2 years, he's made 64 straight starts at Louisville. This is a guy who's Louisville hasn't been great in either of those 2 years under Kenny Payne. But he's got experience of playing at the ACC level, playing against these other teams, playing in the venues, playing college basketball as a whole. He's a good player. I mean, he's averaged 33.3 minutes this past year, you know, playing really, really good basketball for them. He's a guy, we'll see him at the wing. He can handle the ball a little bit. In the last five games for Louisville, he played 50% of possessions at the wing, 36% of them at the shooting guard. So he can be that little two guard for you. He's more of a three, but he can if you want to go bigger and play like that. But yeah, he's a guy that plays a lot. And as you said, he's a slasher. He gets to the rim. You know, he shot 34% beyond the arc this past season, but 42.6 inside the arc. He can get to the rim, get a lot of free throw attempts. I mean, he led Louisville with 154 free throw attempts this past year, getting to the rim, making 126 of them. Pretty efficient shooter at the line. Something that NC State lacked. And we'll talk about that in the next guy too. This past year is getting to the line. They did a good job in the postseason. Don't get me wrong. There was games where in the ACC tournament, they were shooting a lot of free throws. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't really find it consistently during the season at times. And the portal kind of helped fill that one up. But he can score 22 double-digit efforts this past season at Louisville, including 10 straight from November to mid-January. And you know, what did he do against NC State? Well, he scored some points. 20 points against NC State in the regular season. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, he's a guy who's good. And the only thing that I think that they would want to work with expanding his game is being more of a distributor, playing at the two guard, kind of taking some of the pressure off Michael O'Connell, who is expected to be the starting point guard next year.
And you're looking at it where you're going to surround O'Connell on the perimeter with so much defensive versatility with, you know, Styles is 6'6". James is 6'5". Marcus Hill, who we're going to talk about, is 6'4". Like, it's just – it's going to be tough to score on NC State. You saw the Wolfpack embrace more of a defensive mentality throughout the season, and I think you're going to be able to do that big time if everyone buys in. I mean, because you have the players to do it. You have the size to do it. It's going to be really interesting to see what the pack looks like on the defensive end of the court in addition to everything these guys bring offensively. But yeah, Mike James, you know, is someone Louisville really wanted to keep. Louisville was recruiting him really hard, trying to retain him. But I think, you know, James just really liked the Wolfpack. The opportunity to play again with Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I heard, was, you know, a factor here. So the Wolfpack, the coaching staff did a great job getting those two to team up in Raleigh. And I think they'll form a pretty exciting duo. With our next portal commit, Marcus Hill, who we've mentioned a couple times, because in terms of just pure stats, he is maybe the most impressive player they brought in. At Bowling Green last season, he averaged 20.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, and 2.6 assists, knocking down 44.3% of his shots, which is just awesome efficiency considering how many shots per game he was taking for Bowling Green. Noah, you have to be excited about the scoring punch he's going to bring to this team. They needed, I think, another guard who could add that. He was, you know, the most recent commit for the Wolfpack. They were looking for a guard who can score in bunches, and Marcus definitely brings that, right?
He does. He's going to fill that spot. I'm not saying he's DJ Horn. He's going to fill a spot of scoring the basketball at a high clip. You talk about scoring just over 20 points a game. Ethan, he led the – okay, let me back it up. He spent his first 2 years playing JUCO, went to Bowling Green last year, his first year in Division I. While JUCO, his sophomore year there, he led all of junior college basketball with 780 points scored in the 2022-23 season. Did it on 49.7% shooting from the field. Not at a high clip from three. That's the one downside he does have. He does like to shoot the three, he told me, but he hasn't done an efficient clip at the college level. Maybe that's one thing that NC State looks to do with him. DJ Horn shot the three pretty well this year, set the single season record for the most in the season. We'll see if they can develop Marcus Hill into a three-point shooter a little bit, add that to his game. But he scores the ball well. He led the MAC in total points, field goals made, and total minutes this year. He led the NCAA. He was sixth in the NCAA in field goals made, 14th in total points. He's also a guy that gets to the basket and draws a lot of fouls while doing so. You know, he shot 46% inside the arc this year. He had 219 free throw attempts this past season, which is 24th most in all of Division I. Hit 162 of them, which was 37th most in D1. So this is a guy that scores the ball, finds ways to get to the basket, and is pretty reliable from the free throw line too. So see what he does. And he can defend at a high clip too. He talked about, you know, last year at Bowling Green being the guy going to his coach saying, "I want the best player on the other team. Let me have him." And they would. So he can defend too, which is something that's really important in a Kevin Heath system where the offense can do a lot of whatever it wants to do. But defensively, you got to be aggressive. They've got to be sound. They've got to play hard. That's what Kevin Keats wants to see. If he doesn't see that, you're not going to play. And Marcus Hill kind of fits both ends of the floor for NC State. So we'll see what they do. and just developing his three-point shot, I think, is the big key for this summer going into the season.
He's someone I'm really excited about for the Pack. I mean, I get the three-point shooting concerns, but I think when you have someone with his scoring talent, the floor, in my opinion, is a really solid rotational guard who adds, you know, solid scoring punch. The ceiling for him, like Noah, if he can bring that three-point shooting up, you're looking at someone who could be NC State's best player next year.
Like, for sure.
You're looking at someone who, I mean, if you've scored 20 points per game, I get it, it's in the MAC, but like it's D1 basketball. 20.5 points per game is 20.5 points per game. So a lot of talent here. I'm sure he's someone who had plenty of offers elsewhere. I think he could have gone to a lot of different schools. So really, really big addition for the Wolfpack. He's someone the staff really likes. We're going to see how he fits into the starting lineup. I do think he will carve out a spot in the starting lineup because of, you know, just the fact that he's going to be someone you're going to be able to put the ball in his hands at any moment of any game and just say, go get us a bucket. And he's going to be that go-to like DJ Horn type guy this year, I think, at least. That's kind of the role that he will fill. All right. So we've run through all of the additions. Now, Noah, let's go through really quickly and talk through about the subtraction. Something we do on thewolfpacker.com at times is like an impact analysis where we'll try to assess if someone leaving is high, low, or medium impact to next season's roster. And we try to project the future a little bit there as well. So, Noah, let's run through some departures. I'll try my best to do it in chronological order here. But let's start with LJ Thomas, rotational guard off the bench, hit the portal before the ACC tournament run. I think he's someone that probably would have played last year, maybe a little bit more than he did with the way that, you know, the portal has shaken out. Like, it does seem like there will be some time at backup point guard to fill. But I don't know. We can kind of include Cam Woods in this conversation too, another kind of like end of the bench guard who played sparingly. I don't think I'd probably classify both of them as low impact for next season. Would you agree?
Yeah. You know, LJ Thomas is a guy that played at times, didn't play at times, kind of was in that weird spot. Breon Pass, who's still on the team, was in where you play 10 minutes in one game, not play for five games, play 6 minutes, not play. It just didn't work out for him, and he left the team just before they left for the postseason. So that you know, was unfortunate. Cam Wentz, though, a little different story, I feel like, because he wasn't able to play at the beginning of the season with the NCAA waiver. They weren't able to mix him in the practice. Then he could play, so they threw him out there, and it didn't really work because he hadn't fit in with the team. It was one of those things where it just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And maybe if he sticks around, they have an opportunity to work him into practice more, but he wanted to find another place, and you know, that maybe it was a mutual decision that we don't know, but he's off and looking for something else. But that was kind of a different – it wasn't that it was all on him. It was more of like they couldn't work him in. He was on scout team for all of the preseason and all this stuff, and all of a sudden you try to mix in a guy who
– yeah,
he's similar to Marcus Hill in a way. He dominated at North Carolina A&T, 17.5 points game there, I believe, and played well, just couldn't stick at NC State, you know, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was someone we were expecting to redshirt this year because he wasn't eligible. Yeah. So it was a tough season for him. Hopefully he lands somewhere great and can, you know, get back to his volume scoring ways, because he was really good at that before his stop at NC State. All right, next we'll talk about Ernest Ross. On the court, I'd say low to moderate impact. I mean, he's someone that I personally really liked watching him whenever he did get in the game, just a high energy guy. I thought made a lot of plays. Was it the Miami game where he had like an awesome game against the Hurricanes, and was a huge part of that matchup. But he decided to hit the portal. I think he would have had a spot in the rotation, like, but it might not have been that different. Correct me if I'm wrong, Noah, but I think it kind of would have been sort of a similar role than what he had this year.
Yeah, being that fourth big, that there wasn't a lot of options for him. He did play in the ACC championship game, scored a basket. He only scored 4 points this year, I believe. But, you know, he scored a big basket there at the end of the first half when there was foul trouble with the bigs. Went in there, got a nice dunk. It was a good way to cap. You know, he was one of those guys. I think this is going to be more affected in the locker room than it will be on the court. Yeah. He's one of those guys that just has an infectious attitude. Really smart guy. You know, talked to him a bunch during the NCAA tournament run. And he did a whole lot of the three-point goggles on the bench, which, you know, upset Jim Boeheim in the ACC tournament. They got the last laugh on it throughout the whole postseason and things like that. But he's a guy that did a lot of good things in the locker room. And one of those guys that you need on a team, right? You need the morale guy. You need the guy that's gonna keep everybody together. And I think Ernest Ross, you know, wore that, you know, with pretty dignity. But I will say, his guy didn't play a lot, didn't play consistent minutes, but he never appeared to really be too down when that was happening. He always seemed to have a smile on his face. He'd be out there with warm-ups, just doing his thing. And I think that's something that just says a lot about his character, and we'll see where he ends up.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about the Miami game last season. In the overtime win in last January against the Hurricanes. That was when Miami was actually good, and that win was huge for the season. So, like you said, high impact for the locker room. Like super fun guy to be around. You mentioned the Jim Boeheim storyline. I think that was one of the funniest storylines to follow during this tournament run. So again, wishing the best for all of these guys. Hoping they all land at good spots and thrive at their next location. The final guy we need to talk about, and unless I missed anyone, is Mo Diarra. Obviously a massive part of the NCAA and ACC tournament runs. I mean, he was so good. My personal favorite player to watch on the team, honestly. I thought he was just really, really incredible for most of the season. He decided to pursue professional options. He declared for the NBA draft. This is something we kind of heard a little about that might happen. After the tournament run wrapped up, he did head home back to France is what I heard. And, it's a difficult spot where if he's over, at NC State, he can't earn NIL money because of the way, visas work. And, you know, he can't technically be an employee of NC State men's basketball and all of this sort of stuff. So he wasn't able to earn NIL money, and there's ways around that technically, but it's difficult. And he would have to be earning NIL money exclusively when he was in France back home. So, you know, difficult situation for him, you know, makes complete sense. I mean, he ended his one season Wolfpack tenure on an extremely high note. I think it goes without saying, this is a huge impact for NC State. He is a hugely impactful player down the stretch of this past season, and he would have played a huge role in the upcoming year.
He would have. And, you know, you look at what he could do. He couldn't earn money here just because of the visa he was on, being a native of France and things like that. But he played really well in the tournament, you know, averaged nearly a double-double, had multi-digit rebound games in basically every game he played until the end. And he did it all while fasting during Ramadan. I mean, he has a great story, you know, a guy that's really, really nice off the court too. And one of those guys that really, I think a lot of the guys on the team enjoy being around. And it was one year he did really well, but you can't blame him for turning pro. His name is as hot as it's going to be with what he did on the national stage. Yep. If he wants to take advantage, try to make it in the NBA, all power to him. That's what he's doing. He's in the NBA draft. He's entered, declared. His name is on the list and the NBA put out this week. We'll see what happens. Worst case scenario for him is goes back to France and plays pro ball there, and you know, which is not a bad scenario when you're playing in Europe. So he'll be of demand in Europe if he doesn't stick in the NBA. But I think we'll see him in summer league at least. I think we'll see some teams give him a chance, see what he can do against NBA competition, and play that power forward spot and see what he can do at 6'10".
That'd be great. And like you said, obviously super impactful on the court. Also just an absolute joy to interview. One of the nicest guys on the team in terms of always making time for the media. It was always a great quote. Really, really appreciate.
He didn't hide how he felt. He'd tell you.
Yeah, he was very honest in his interviews, which Noah and I always really appreciated. So good luck, Mo. Good luck with your professional pursuits, and we'll obviously be rooting for you. All right. That's all for for men's basketball recruiting, but we need to talk about women's basketball, because in terms of just like the like prestige of, you know, a commitment, you know, the women's basketball team brought in one of the top post players in the portal, a major position of need after River Baldwin and Mimi Collins, their eligibility expired. Katie Pinoetta is transferring back to Sacramento State after one season with the Pack. So they needed to add someone in the front court, and they added one, maybe the best best case scenario for the Pack. Caitlin Weimer, a former Boston University star forward, 6'4", long wingspan, and just a dominant player on both ends of the court. She is the reigning Patriot League Player of the Year overall and Defensive Player of the Year. And she won the Defensive Player of the Year award in back-to-back seasons. So she is just a really, really good player. Most recently in her senior year, she averaged 18.7 points per game and 10.6 boards. So averaging a double-double, that's pretty good, Noah. I've talked to folks who covered her during her time at Boston University, and everyone is just super excited for her and about what she brought to the court for the Terriers over the past few years, where, I mean, it just an elite rim protector. Yes, she was playing against like shorter competition in general in the Patriot League, but, you know, really, really good defender, you know, quick, agile, can like move her feet. That's one thing that NC State's losing this year, because River Baldwin was one of the best, you know, defensive bigs in terms of like drawing charges and getting in position. I think Caitlin's probably going to, you know, might not draw as many charges, but she's going to block a lot more shots. I can tell you that much, because she is a really, really good shot blocker. Had a stretch of four games in the regular season this spring where she blocked at least five shots in a game, hit seven a couple times. So, Noah, we were kind of following along with Caitlin's recruitment, because she came on an official visit, went to Notre Dame. You know, there was concern maybe she might end up with the Irish, but she committed to the Pack. This is huge. This is huge news for the Wolfpack.
Big addition. I think, you know, we could say it now. She'll probably start in River Baldwin's spot. You know, yeah. Bring her in. She's got 1 year of eligibility left and playing at a high level that she did. She proves she can play college basketball. We talk about, you know, transferring up and bigger step in competition, the ACC being probably one of the best women's basketball, probably the best now that, you know, we can just say it. Like, you know, when you add Stanford and, you know, a team like that into the mix, it's going to be tough, but I don't think it's going to be too big of a challenge. You know, she's an elite player playing in a small school. I think you put an elite player at a program that's an elite program, it'll help. But, yeah, she plays really well defensively, which NC State needs out of the post because of how well the guards get out and run and transition. And, you know, if you get your post player blocking shots and getting the ball right to an Isaiah James, Sanaya Rivers, or Zoe Brooks, not even counting like Zamaria Jones or anybody like that, like, this team's looking really good, Ethan. And I think that, you know, Caitlin Weimer is a good spot to that start, you know, for Westmore's, you know, portal. And like, man, this team, Final Four team a year ago, I'm just going to say now, I don't think they're going to start the year unranked like they did this past season. And probably a top five team going into the year.
Yeah, I mean, you bring the entire backcourt back. You add Zamaria, who's a five-star top 20 recruit in the country, McDonald's All-American. And the expectations are going to be high. And I thought they really needed to add someone who could be a difference maker in the post. And Caitlin can be exactly that. One of my close friends and former colleagues, his name's Ethan Fuller. He works at the Boston Globe up in Boston. Did a film study with Caitlin during her Boston University career, actually. So I called him up just to ask, like, what is she going to bring? And, of course, effusively praised her defense. But offensively, you know, I think she's not just, like, going to come in and just protect the rim. And she's going to – you can run the offense through her at times. I think she's going to fill Rivers' role in a kind of a similar way, where sometimes when the offense would stagnate and the guards just couldn't get anything going, they would just, hey, let's just give it to River Baldwin for a few straight post-ups and see what happens. And I think Caitlin's going to be able to do the exact same thing in Raleigh. I'm really optimistic about what she's going to bring in the post. She knocked down 55.3% of her field goals in her senior season. So an efficient player. Almost all of her scoring happens in the paint, so she's not going to be able to like stretch it out to the perimeter or I don't think knock down many mid-range jumpers, or at least she hasn't shown that ability yet. But based off of what we do know about her, what we do know about her skill set, I think she's going to be able to fill River Baldwin's role really well, and a huge, huge addition. I will note, I would not be surprised if she is the only transfer portal addition of the year. Based on what I've heard, I think the Pack will recruit someone if someone hits the portal that they really like. But other than that, I don't think they're like really, really like trying to force anything here. They have 13 scholarship players going into next season. That's a lot. That is a lot of players to find playing time for. Half of these players, I think almost all of them were top 100 recruits. Off the top of my head, I think 11 of the 13. So, a lot of talented players who are going to, be competing for playing time. If you go in with two open scholarships, that's not the worst thing in the world. They had open scholarships last season. They're going to be deep either way. So it'll be fun to watch the Pack with a young Wolfpack team, aside from the starting backcourt, or aside from the starting lineup as a whole, I should say.
Like, open scholarships aren't bad, especially, when you're a team that plays seven people that they played, consistently this past year. It was really six for a while with like a seventh mixed in. I do think Westmore will go a little deeper next year. I wouldn't be shocked to have it consistently seven and possibly eight. Up another two player and player or two, just because of the amount of talent that they'll have on the bench. I mean, you talk about Zoe Brooks coming back. She'll probably find a way in the starting lineup somehow. But you Lacey Steele coming off the bench. You've got, Zamaria Jones, who I don't know if she'll be given as much of a load that Zoe Brooks was given this year, and playing 30 minutes a game off the bench as a freshman. But I wouldn't be shocked to see her play 10-15 minutes a game. She's talented enough to do it. And then you keep going down the line. There's a lot of talent on that bench. So we'll see what happens. And the depth is real. And that's one thing that I think NC State may have learned from playing South Carolina, who they'll see again next year, is South Carolina can go 1 through 15 and play them all. And there's no drop-off. And I think that NC State will be closer to that. I'm not going to say they're going to be a South Carolina level, but the depth that they'll have on their bench is going to be a lot better than what they have this year.
The guard depth will be there. I mean, you have, like you said, Zamaria is going to be your, fifth guard, potentially sixth guard. Like, holy crap. And that's something you saw with South Carolina is you can do a great job defending and even scoring on some of South Carolina's guards, and then it's another five-star recruit, elite defender, great shooter that they put in the game. So I think it's going to be comparable to what South Carolina could do. They're going to have that option where, instead of having to play Isaiah 40 minutes a game, they can sub her out, put Zamaria in, let her, score as well as she does, play a little bit of defense, and, everyone's going to be fresher. Everyone's going to be more energized. It's going to be a really exciting team. And adding Caitlin just adds, fills pretty much the lone question mark. Because I think you can either run a four-guard lineup with Madison Hayes at power forward, something they did at times due to injury this past season, or Maddie Cox, if she takes a step forward, should be able to start and create a taller lineup at power forward. So, really optimistic about where they're at. And, Noah, I think we were both keeping an eye on how the momentum from these final four runs would carry over, see if they could capitalize in the transfer portal. I think it's safe to say both basketball programs did that. So as far as, grading how they've done, I'd give both of them an A. And that's about it for our basketball discussion. Before we get out of here, did want to mention football recruiting. Right now it's a little bit quiet. That's not something to be concerned about. They have a few open scholarships. They're not going to rush into anything, right? They're not going to offer someone just to offer someone because they have a talented, deep team right now. But the one player that that I would keep an eye on right now is Kerry Martin Jr. Picked up an offer from the Pack this afternoon. The former West Virginia and Akron safety had a good season for the Zips last year. Intercepted a couple passes, recorded 45 total tackles. So, you know, productive player in the MAC, a former, you know, freshman All-American for the Mountaineers. And an interesting note on that is he is a senior. His first year with the Mountaineers was 2019. So I believe that would mean Tony Gibson probably recruited him to West Virginia, or he was at least on staff at the time during Kerry's recruitment. So keep an eye on him. We'll see if it materializes and turns into a visit or anything like that. And if it does, we'll have an update for you on thewolfpacker.com. All right. Thank you all for watching and listening today. We really appreciate it. Nice to do this again after our quick break. We'll be back whenever there is, you know, news to talk about. So it could be next week, could be a couple of weeks. But we will be back to further discuss where things are going with the Wolfpack. We'll do like a transfer portal wrap up, a look ahead, maybe a little more football specific talk before we launch into camp season, the most exciting stretch of the year for football recruiting. And we'll talk about it all then. All right. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you soon.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.